Appreciate your prayers this morning. I got a little thought to share. Don't know how long this will take. I'd like to start with scripture in St. John, the 18th chapter. I'll go back to the fourth verse, maybe pick up some of it. John 18 and 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betray him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and smote high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So I want to think a little bit about this cup that Jesus was referring here. It's used in the scriptures quite a bit. Jesus asked this question, this idea. Jesus was an example to us on how to live life, I believe. And Jesus's goal was to die for us on the cross. This was the goal. But obviously there was a lot more to it than that. He had a mission. And Jesus looked at that as, this is the mission, this is what I've got to fulfill. And so I'd like for us to think about this in the terms of sometimes of maybe what we may call the trivial or the things that maybe we can't directly draw a line from the will of God and my calling or what God wants me to do necessarily there. And I can't draw a straight line from this to that. But I want us to realize that there is a lot of ingredients in this cup. That Jesus' mission was to hang on the cross. It was to die on the cross for us. But there was a lot of things that was in the cup leading up to that. It wasn't just isolated to that. Jesus wasn't going to say, I'm going to die on the cross for you. I ain't putting up with this mouth and off stuff. Or I'm not going to put up with the disrespect. I'm going to die on the cross for you, but you're going to respect me till I do. You understand what I'm saying? To isolate off the other ideas and that, we can do that sometimes. I'm willing to live for the Lord. I'm willing to go where He wants me to go. I'm willing to do some of the things that the Lord wants me to do. But if we're not careful, we'll isolate other things off. Now, Jesus was here in this situation, and Peter decides that he's going, well, Jesus might put up with it, but Peter ain't going to put up with it. And I'm going to defend Jesus here. I'm going to defend the Lord here in this. So he pulls his sword. Again, I think it's amazing. We had a little bit of it in Sunday school. But I think it was amazing. I guess there's other reasons for having a sword. But for the life of me, I'm not sure exactly what they were at the time to having I mean, I guess you could chop firewood with it, or you could do a lot of other things with it. But Jesus was still going around as a pacifist, in the pacifist mode, to save people. He wasn't condemning him, wasn't cutting their ears off. He wasn't doing those things, and yet Peter was walking around him with his sword. He hadn't been relayed everything to them at this time. So Peter pulls his sword off and cuts this guy's ear off. And Jesus said, Peter, put your sword up. It's not what we're doing. And should I not drink this cup that the Lord's given me? I thinking about back when Linda and I first got, was before we got married, we got advice. People was giving us advice about life and things, and we still have a letter up at home we pull out every once in a while, that someone that was giving us some advice, and we appreciate it. It was done of love and goodwill. But in the letter, it was advising on, and was advising mainly Linda, and one of the words that was saying was we know that you want to do this, and you make sure that you're not following after a minister, you know, for the glamour of the ministry. And that's one of the terms that followed us down through the years. I don't know if you think of ministry as glamorous, and you are put in front of people. There is a respect that comes along with it. There are some things that come along with it. But I would always remind my wife on some of them long trips when the baby threw up all over her in the middle of the night and those kind of things, how's the glamour working for you now, babe? or we're going along and you broke down beside the road somewhere. How's the glamour working for you now? Sometimes they would be, the whole family would be sick of the flu at the same time, throwing up all over the place, and we'd be off on the road in a mission trip or going somewhere, and I'd say, hey Linda, how's this glamour working for you? How's this going for you? But here's the deal. It isn't all bread and cheese. It isn't all offerings. It isn't all that. It isn't even all it isn't my cup, is what I'm saying. My cup. What the Lord called me to do within the calling of what to do. And my submission to, yes, Lord, I don't feel like I can talk. I don't feel like I can do this. But if you'll help me, I'll be a minister for you. And I accept the cup that you give me. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of other stuff in the cup than just standing up and preaching. Or somebody patting on you the back and saying, yeah, that was a good message. Or even the idea that was a bad message. There's other stuff in the cup that goes along with it. Sometimes it's flat tires beside the road. In the cup is a lot of other things that need to be drunk. Jesus said to Peter, should I not drink the cup, Peter? I came to this earth to serve humanity. Should I not drink the cup? Because along with the idea that you're saying, wow, this man spake as nobody spake. That's wonderful. And what manner of man is this that can talk to the elements? And oh, the glory when they bowed down and said, thank you for healing me of leprosy. And all of that, that's part of the cup. But I want to tell you, there was a lot of other stuff in the cup too. There was call him Beelzebub. You know, in your Christian cup, there's glory. There's peace. There's a lot of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, there's some negative stuff in the cup. And Jesus said to Peter, should I not drink the cup that the Lord, my Father, has given me, this cup? And you know, sometimes in a cup, there's a lot of different stuff in this cup. And you can't separate out the one from the other. Here's the cup. Drink this. Drink all of it. Take it for what it's worth. And sometimes there'll be a lot of good things to testify about and all those kind of things. And sometimes there's a lot of things that just isn't very pleasant in the cup. But Jesus said to Peter, should I not drink the cup that my Father's given me? So look at some of the things that Jesus was in the cup. He was trying to save us by dying on the cross. And that by itself, looking forward to the day that it's approaching. My day's approaching. All through Jesus' ministry, he knew the day was approaching till he would lay his arms out and they would drive spikes through his hands. He knew that. And he knew all of that. But he had to commit to much more than just that. He had to commit to the disgrace, the dishonor of it. He had to commit himself into the hands of sinful people. He had to be called Beelzebub. He had to be looked as fanatic. Nobody likes that. He had to be looked at as a divisionary. He was looked at as an agitator. He was looked at as a heretic, as sedition. He was labeled with all of these things, and it was a part of the cup that he had to drink. He had to drink all of these things along in there. I can remember sometimes, in my ministry, there was a lot of stuff other than just, the Lord's blessed us. Don't get me wrong. There's been grace for it all. But sometimes it calls for things that is just flat unpleasant to do. Sometimes there's a call to where I've had to say, Lord, if you don't help me. I don't know how many times that I found myself sitting wondering, how did an old Central West Virginia guy that never had any ambition to ever do any of this kind of stuff, why am I sitting in this fancy place in Freeland, Michigan, with 1,000 people in this funeral home waiting for me to get up and say something to them? How did I ever get to a place like this? I'll take the bread and the cheese. Send me an offering. But all of a sudden, I'm under the pressure of performance here. Should I not drink this cup too? The Father put me in this place. Should I not drink this cup too? And there's been times being called on to go and help somebody or encourage somebody. Sometimes I'm called on and the Lord says, I want you to go to the altar. Lord, I ain't got nothing to say at no altar. I don't know what their problem is. Lord, what am I supposed to do when I get down there? Trust me. Trust me. Trust me and I'll give it to you. But Lord, I'm not able. Moses said to the Lord, God said, I'm going to send you down there. And Moses said, me? I can't speak. I can't do that. Moses, here's your cup. I didn't tell you it was going to be glamorous. Here's your cup. What was in it? Moses was one of the most honored and respected characters of the Old Testament scriptures, right? He was the deliverer of the people. He stood as a type for Christ. He was exalted. He was lifted up. Was that all of it? Was that his cup as this guy that walked around in big clothes, suit and tie, that got to fly all over the place? And this is Moses. It's all about him. I was giving him honor. Did the people of Israel honor him always? Was he always Superman to them? Even when he'd done the will of God, they criticized him for it. There was times that they murmured and complained about him. Look what Moses has done. Let's get a new leader, they said at one time. Stone him, they said. Do all these things. Do you know that Moses could have said the same thing? Should I not drink this cup that God has given me? Should I not be faithful in my daily exercises too? Should I not drink all that's in the cup here? Because all of the people of the scriptures, I think of David. You know, David was a highly admired person. David was the one that had the reputation Listen, folks, there wasn't internet and phone calls and all that in the day, but there wasn't nobody in Israel that didn't know the story of David and Goliath, okay? They handed it down by the campfires. They handed it down by the tents. They were instructed to tell the things of God. These things went on. And they knew of David's glorious victories. They knew about David, and the women come out at one point and said, Saul has killed his thousand. They sang and they danced, and David is 10,000, and we exalt David as being something. And David took his men out one time, and while he was going, the Philistines come in, I think it was, and raided the camp and stole their stuff and took their women and children, and they come back, and the enemy had taken their stuff, and you know what the men said? Let's stone him. Let's get rid of David. I'm take the good, but Lord, I mean, what's in the cup of a king? What, you're going to give a king a cup. What's in the cup for a king? All honor and majesty and glory? No, there's going to be responsibility in there. There's going to be ridicule in there. I'm going to tell you, as a minister, you're going to be ridiculed. There's going to be times that you're going to be preaching and you're going to say something that you didn't mean to say. And, or are you going to say something that's totally ridiculous and somebody's going to come up and, did you mean, I didn't, no, that's not what I meant to say. My tongue got tangled up. Drink it. Drink it by the foolishness of preaching. I told the Lord one time, boy, did you name that right? The foolishness of preaching. Feel like such a fool sometimes. Sometimes you get through ministering and you don't know whether anybody even understood what you said, and you want to go and crawl under a rock somewhere and hide for a few days. Drink it, brother. Drink the cup. That's part of it. You can't stop because you feel that way. You know, every one of us is going to have a cup. There's going to be stuff in the cup. Folks, there's going to be stuff in that cup sometimes. There's a passage of Scripture in Psalms, the 75th Psalm. Jesus said when he went to the garden, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup away. He looked at what was in the cup. What was in the cup? Blessing and honor and salvation for us and all that was in the cup. There was a crown of thorns in the cup. There was lashes on the back in the cup. There was a cruel agony of nails being driven through his hands and feet and being lifted up into the air and hung by those wounds, hanging the weight of his body. You know what else was in the cup? We don't display it and we don't look at it, but Jesus was wearing nothing, absolutely nothing. He was a holy, he was a righteous man that cared about the right things and the good and the moral and the decent, and he had to be stripped all he had. I could see this saying, I am willing to die on the cross, but I got to do it with my clothes. That's not in the cup. The cup means sometimes there's shame and there's other things in the cup. Would Jesus' crucifixion been less if it had been clothed? It would have been bad. He was sinless, but this is in the cup. You know, the Lord, when he committed there in the gardens and he said, take this cup from me, he wanted those things out of it. That's a torment to us sometimes. There's things in there sometimes. Sometimes it's easier to think about living than it is dying. Sometimes life can present more trouble than what death can. Sometimes there's things in there that is so terrifying, so hard to us. And Jesus said, should I not drink the cup, Peter? They're treating me bad. Yeah. But should I not drink this cup? There's something right about this. So in the 75th Psalm, in the 8th verse it says, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture. and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Now, I don't know what all that means. I don't know the analogy of the red in the cup, and I don't know. I remember hearing Brother Ed Wilson expound on this one time, and what stuck into my mind was his explanation of it is full of mixture. And he brought it out that within the cup of the Lord, this has been true from the beginning of time through, that the people of God have been vagabonds. They have been tortured. They have been considered the offscouring of the earth. They have been persecuted. They have been looked at as outcasts and all of that. And this is part of the cup that has always those that have been faithful had to prove that faith. The three Hebrew children were faithful young men to God, but they wasn't left alone. Daniel was a magnificent person of spirit, and he was thrown into a lion's den. Joseph was almost one of the best characters and truest characters in the Bible was Joseph, and he was considered a pervert and thrown in jail. And he was resented. And his brothers was jealous of him and threw him in a well. And within his cup was, by no fault of his own, by the cup that God gave him, he was going to be exalted, second to Pharaoh, and very much honored. But that wasn't the cup. That wasn't all the cup. You can't take being exalted without being abased. You can't get to where God wants you to be unless you drink some of the sorrow. You're not a whole person. God knows this. God knows what we need in there. And sometimes He gives us a mountain to climb. Sometimes He gives us something that would cause us to look and say, I need more. I need something more. When my emotions want to flare and I want to let anger rule, I need something more. I need more than I got, because I'm about to tell somebody off. My human nature is about to rise up, and this is the cup that the Lord gave me, and all of a sudden in this cup things that is unpleasant. Brother Ed brought it out this way. The cup of the Lord is in His hand. And He gives it to His people, but He gives it with a mixture. And within that mixture, there is the mixtures of life and what will happen in life. Folks, you probably won't get out of here. Now, forgive me for saying it if it's hard to take. But you're probably not going to get out of here without some suffering. You're probably not going to get out of here without getting old and seeing things not work that used to and those kind of things. There is a cup. But Brother Ed brought it out this way. It's a mixture. And one of the ingredients that is in the cup that he pours into the cup with the challenges of life is the grace of God. There is a mixture. It isn't all going to be by you trying to do it by yourself or trying to do it. The cup has a mixture. Jesus said, should I not drink the cup? There was an element to the cup yet. All these things was in the cup. But when he prayed, not my will, thy will be done, he was ministered to and got a power to take everything in the cup that was in the cup. Jesus was in one sense, he laid down in the garden and in his ministry, he laid down his sonship of God. This is well thought of, that Jesus was of the character of man and God.
And there was times that he demonstrated God in healings and he done those things. But by his own will, he laid down God. They could not have crucified God. He laid it down and let him crucify man. In the garden, he laid down God and showed us how to be a man. And in that man, he needed more than he had. And he prayed and committed that until the angel ministered to him. And he never went back to that again because he had the power and God had poured into the cup the necessary ingredients of grace and power, and you can do it now. And it's the same thing in our lives and what we need. There is a cup in the Lord's hand and it's got a mixture in it. And the mixture of whatever is in there is equalized. If you're going to have to face persecution in your cup, God has poured in a measure of grace into that cup. When you drink that cup, you drink the grace that will enable you to go through the persecution. There are some ingredients you might pick out. I had a buddy that loved the Little Debbie raisin cakes. But he hated raisins. I used to laugh at him. He'd buy a box of 12 of them. We'd go camping or something. He was always getting these Little Debbie cakes. I loved raisin cakes. But he hated raisins and he'd pick the raisins out. And I was always picking on him. Why are you picking the raisins out of a raisin cake? I hate raisins, he said. Well, I guess it's all right to love the cake and hate the raisins. But this is something you can't pick the ingredients out of. You can't choose it. Jesus said, should I not drink the cup? They're coming against me, Peter. This is in the will of God. This is a part of the cup. We want, don't we? Don't we want to be looked at as right? Righteous? We want to be looked at as a people that love everybody and will give everybody a chance and will help everybody and will do that in the name of Jesus. We'll do all of that and we want that to be in our cup. And we want a reputation of love and devotion and we want that reputation. But I'm going to tell you, there's other things in the cup. That would be wonderful if the only reputation everybody ever looked at me going up and down the road said, right there is one fine fella. Do you know the truth about it is that there's been people that have been warned away from our congregation. Did you know that? And they wasn't warned off because he's a fine fella. One, Mark Payne actually told me that one guy actually said I was horrible. I was an awful fella. He said, I killed all the squirrels, all of them now. That's what he told me. I killed all of the squirrels on Peter's Mountain. I didn't kill enough squirrels anywhere to blame me for anything. And told him, said, you just stay away from that, some bad people. Folks, that's the cup. Don't quit coming. Don't quit. The devil's going to make sure of it. There's other things in the cup. And when there's other things in the cup, what we say is, Lord, help me to love anyway. Pour in the grace into my cup. I'm gonna drink it, Lord. I'll drink it, no matter if it's a bad reputation or whatever it is for you. I'll drink the cup, but pour in the grace, because I don't want to drink the cup and then have the bad feel. Let me have the grace along with the things that is hard to take and those things about life. Sometimes we separate off, Lord help us, but sometimes we separate off in our real mindset. And I'm not trying to say that we should run around like we're ultra spiritual. I'm not talking about that. But we should incorporate the things into our life as a part of the cup. Because I didn't make you and you didn't make me. I'm in the place I am and who I am because God let me be there, and that's where I'm at and what I'm doing. But I can look and see the hand of God that put me where I'm at. And because I'm where I'm at, it's going to have certain challenges and it's going to have certain blessings, and there's going to be certain things in the cup that the Lord put me in it. I'm willing to do what the Lord done. But I find in the Lord, I told Linda this the other day, we was talking, and I told her this. I find that the Lord can call anybody to anything and can qualify them for it, and I have no doubt of that. But in my life's experience, I've seen God set the stage and make a person from the beginning to be things. It wasn't like he called him to something unusual. Like I said about Brother Michael Smith. Brother Michael Smith is one of our main missionaries, and he goes places and stuff like that. He married Renee, whose dad was a missionary that went back and he got him in. I'm saying there was a step by step and a line that made it easy to go, and God worked it into that. You may not be a missionary. You may never not have had that in your life. It was be a good chance. That if your dad was a missionary, I mean, if I had somebody, if my father-in-law had been some missionary to Africa, at some point he asked me to go with him, and I went over there with him, and after a while I'd have been God would have worked that. It's God that works. That's what I'm saying. It's God that gives the cup. Take the place that you're in and accept the cup. And along with that will come the challenges with that. But say, should I not drink that too? What is it? Lord, you're the one that... I mean, you know, some people are smart and some people aren't. I'm saying it ain't really... everybody's got their thing. But I'm saying from an I'm saying from a bookwork ability... Not everybody's got the ability to learn advanced math, right? Some people flow into it and can do it and do that. Who made it that way? Why isn't everybody just great at it? Because God didn't make you just great at it. There's a host of things that makes you different from that. And that's why we have the different things and abilities. I mean, Brother Mansell was a truck driver. I noticed a lot of them Doolittles drove trucks and stuff. I mean, they could drive. Brother Mansell, did your dad ever drive truck? That's not unusual that you...
He was out in Arizona when I was born.
And it was your cup, Brother Mansell. It was just your cup. There's things in the cup. Brother Mike, why do you live here? Where you live? Did your mom and dad live here? Well, huh? They didn't live in California. Well, there you go. But that was your cup. That's part of the cup. And so within drinking that, you probably know most everybody around here, don't you? I was kind of Johnny-come-lately. I probably don't know near the people, even after being here all this time, that you know. You grew up with a lot of people.
A lot of people changed, too, so I don't know all of
it. But it's a cup. What I'm saying is a cup, and within that, other people have done things and looked and said, I mean, I don't mean to be personal, but Sister Vaughn, you're here. God had something to do with that. He did. And the negative things that come along with it, that may come along with it, is a part of the cup that the Lord gave. And so whatever it is in life that we face and stuff, God's going to give us a cup, and within that cup there's a mixture. And I want to say, God knows what to put in it to make it what it should be. Because I believe the cup without the mixture wouldn't be good. So God gave the cup. And I'm glad I don't have to drink the cup that the Lord gave me without the mixture. I'm glad that the middle of the night, I had somebody say to me one time, well, Brother Mike, I don't mean to hurt your feelings or anything, but you don't have a job. You know, I'm a full-time minister. I've been full-time minister since 95. And so, and he said, well, you don't have a job. But I'm going to tell you, you drive back from Dallas in the middle of the night with a family that's sick and all that, and tell me you don't have a job. I'm telling you what, I said, okay, I agree. I mean, it ain't like a job. And then I would be in the middle of the night, or I'd be in one of those places, and I'd say, I dare them to say I don't have a job. I do have a job. But with that, I want the mixture. No, I don't. Lord, I have to have the mixture. Pour to the grace. I want to drink the cup, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do, but I want it to be mixed just right. Give me the mixture of grace and love and passion. And I don't want to just do this because it's duty. Give me passion for it. It's in the cup. I'll pour those things into your cup so that you can be a success through the negative things that happen. I think there was some times that some of them wanted to, as Brother Bale said, they wanted to be bread and cheese preachers, which means they wanted to get the benefit, but they didn't want the other things in it. And I think some of the disciples kind of felt that way too. And there was a man come to the Lord one time and said, Master, I'll go with you wherever soever you go. Yeah, I just fed 5,000. I imagine you will. But he said, Son of man don't have a place to lay his head. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. That guy wasn't pursuing that one. He wanted the bread and cheese with it. But there's a mixture because some places there's no place to lay your, sometimes no place to lay your head. Sometimes there's difficulties. But within those things, the Lord makes the difference with the mixture. And there is a blessing that will come out of that every time. Yeah, Joseph had to go through quite a bit before he ever got to be second in command. But that's what the Lord's cup was for him. And he drank it and became a necessary part of the life of the children of Israel. So, Lord, help us today to accept the cup that the Lord has. Should I not drink my Father's cup? You pray for me.